Today's scripture reading comes from 2 Thessalonians 2, 1-5, and 13-17. Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him, we ask you, brothers, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by some prophecy, report, or letter supposed to have come from us, saying that the day of the Lord has already come. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshiped, so he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell these things? But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers loved by the Lord, because from the beginning, God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called to you this through our gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank our brother in Christ for sharing those words of truth that can be trusted. Would you please join with me in prayer? Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word that is alive, that is well, that sustains, speaks to us. We pray, Lord, that we would simply be open to it and be in your time and in your season to receive the truth that you would have us be filled with and then share and live out in your world. It's in the name of Christ, our risen Savior, that we pray. Amen. There was a story that I'd heard of, and now there's a movie about it, actually. And it was the story of a young man who was out hiking in the desert by himself, and he got trapped, and he fell in this deep crevice. What happened then was an extraordinary story of revival over the next 5 days. His arm was actually pinned by a boulder, and there was no way for him to be able to move himself or get up out of there. Aaron Ralston is the man's name, and the book is called Between a Rock and a Hard Place. And there's a movie out right now about that, and it lists the particular number of hours that he was there. And what struck me is that as he first was trapped, he was screaming and he was yelling and he was trying to reach somebody, and he realized that all that screaming and yelling wasn't doing anything. Because, first of all, there was nobody there, and even if there had been somebody right above them, his voice probably would have just been lost and drowned out. Nobody would have heard it. Wouldn't have carried up. So all of his energy then was focused on trying to calm himself, try to settle himself to be able to survive. He eventually started keeping a journal, if you will, and tracking his progress and trying to keep track of what he was trying to endure just to keep himself from going crazy out there in the desert and to try to keep focused on keeping alive. Eventually, he did something that was quite extraordinary. He broke his arm and then cut it off to be able to get out of there. He survived. Now, as a motivational speaker, and again, just this morning, was on a television program talking about his ordeal. Between a rock and a hard place. Anybody ever been there? Maybe to that extent that I described. I don't know. I'm not sure. If it was life-threatening. I know for some of you, it has been, being in situations. No question about it. What do we do, though, in those circumstances? Whenever the world just seems to be slamming up against us, challenging us, and we're not exactly sure what God has in store. In fact, we don't even know how God's going to lead us out of it. We don't know if anybody even hears us. Just like Aaron was screaming, "Help! Help!" Nobody heard. Does anybody hear us? God always hears. That's the truth. That is a truth that never changes. God always hears and responds in time, in season, whenever we are truly open to receiving His help. The church that is written to in this scripture passage today, Thessalonica, was a church that Paul started. And it was a church that, as many churches do, went through some difficult times. Now, whenever Paul started it, it just boomed. It grew and it flourished to such an extent that the powers that be, the religious authorities, you understand what I'm saying here, not the spiritual leaders, but the religious authorities were very challenged and threatened by the growth of this church. Okay? So, therefore, they did things to try to thwart this church and its growth. In other words, that early church at Thessalonica was persecuted. Now, in the first letter that Paul wrote to Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians, he was writing to them and he was sharing with them that the day of the Lord is near, as is your salvation. It's always good to hear a word of encouragement, right? If you've ever seen somebody put together bookshelves and they're not using the instructions, and you go up and just kind of pat them on the back and say, "Good job," and then you close the garage door and walk away and just listen for cries of help. You want to encourage people. You want to encourage people. And Paul is doing that. The second letter to that church is a little bit different. He's gotten word back through Timothy, through other sources, that the church has been led astray by charlatans, by false prophets, by those who would say the day of the Lord is at hand. The sky is falling. Whole bunch of Chicken Littles running around in that community and in that church, panicking. And Paul seeks to remind them of whose they are, who they belong to. God. They're God's children. They still bear the name of Jesus Christ, and so there's no need to panic. There never is whenever you're a child of God, whenever you're a Christian, whenever you're open to God's Holy Spirit. There never is a need to panic, but rather continue to focus on what God is doing in your midst. Certainly, this is not a new story, is it? That there would be those who would claim that the end times are upon us. In fact, there are some individuals, some even who are preachers, who spend an awful lot of time trying to figure out the exact timing of the end times. And what I would suggest to my brothers and sisters in Christ who would do that is that they're not spending their time in the best way. Certainly, to be thinking about the end times is something that can actually be encouraging, believe it or not. You know, in the Gospel of Mark, in Mark chapter 13, Jesus himself starts describing the end times, gets into some pretty heavy-duty stuff about some incredible chaos that's going to be happening whenever he comes again. But you know who is on the winning side? The people of God. Do you know who's on the winning side? The people who have that saving relationship with God through Jesus Christ, who are open to God's Holy Spirit. We know the ending. And yet there are going to be some difficult times. There are going to be some challenging times as well. You know, Paul's second letter to the Thessalonians is kind of like the letter of a worried parent to their college student who's starting to get involved with the wrong kinds of people. I don't know if you've ever written one of those letters or if you've ever received one of those letters, but it has an impact, doesn't it? Because you think, wow, what am I doing? Or if you're writing it, you write it out of love and say, please, please be careful. Paul is reminding those that he loves to be careful about who they're listening to, who they're following. They're not defined by some sort of doctrine, but rather they are defined by God. They are defined by the resurrected Christ. They are defined by God's Holy Spirit at work even in the midst of trouble, and especially whenever they find themselves between a rock and a hard place. I would suggest that what Paul is saying to the Thessalonians, to that church, is hold fast. When the going gets tough, okay, not as many of you knew that as in the first service. I'm not going to compare services, okay? I just wanted to let you know. But you're probably familiar with that phrase. Some people would say it's kind of trite. You know, it's kind of like these other things that we remember. But there's a lot of truth in that. When the going gets tough, whenever challenging times come, indeed, the people of God are willing to step forward into the midst of that, actually. I'm not saying you need to be one of these people that chases tornadoes. You ever see those shows? Whenever they're right there, and some of the people want to get as close as possible. That's just asking for it, okay? But I'm saying that whenever there are challenges in our lives of the spiritual nature, challenges whenever we're wondering, Lord, where are you? And it might be challenges that come to us whenever we hear the news, okay, about death and destruction. Whenever we hear the news about evil at work in the world. When we hear the news about seemingly senseless loss of life, and we say, God, where are you in the midst of that? We're stepping into the middle of the storm, but we know that God is with us. We're willing to face those challenges, the uncertainty, because we know that we have an awesome God who will never, ever leave us. Jesus, whenever he gathered with his disciples, and he was sharing with them, in John 14 it says, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I prepare a place for you? And then he starts talking about peace that he gives, not peace from the world, but rather a sustaining presence that is received only by having that saving relationship with God through Christ. Those are words that Jesus said for a purpose, to remind not only those disciples, but those who would pass on the message to this very day, to these modern day disciples, each and every one of you, to say, you're not alone. You're not alone on the journey. God cares. God's love is there. God's grace is washing over you. All of those good things are present. And in the midst of turmoil, Jesus also said to them, do not let your hearts be troubled. That's probably where much of this concern arises out of. How many times I've had a conversation with somebody about a concern that they had, and at first it appeared to be something that was a worry, but then eventually it turned out to be something that pointed to a spiritual struggle, a heart struggle, some concern that they were carrying deep inside that they hadn't fully laid before God. And once they did, my gosh, what an awesome thing. What a phenomenal freedom to no longer carry it, but to lay it before God and allow Him to carry it, allow Him to receive it fully, that spiritual concern and that struggle, and know that He was going to receive it and take it all. We didn't have to carry it anymore. We didn't have to take care of it anymore. Isn't that awesome to know? There are things that we don't need to worry about, like the end times, like when they're going to happen. Matthew 24:36. This kind of says it all concerning what our approach should be about the end times when Christ comes again. We know it's going to happen. We do know it's going to happen, but this kind of says it all. But about that day and hour, Jesus is speaking here, No one knows, neither do the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Are there things that we should be concerned about as a church? Yes, absolutely. Is evil real in the world? Absolutely. And at work? Absolutely. No question about it. But are we on the winning side? Absolutely. Is God at work? Absolutely. Is there any amount of evil that can stop God? No. No. Is evil ever greater than God? No. And at the end, when Christ comes again, evil will finally be conquered. But in the meantime, God's grace and love are there for us to sustain us through all challenges. You know, communion is a wonderful reminder, is an incredible reminder to the modern day church. And it was to the church at Thessalonica too. For those who are going to be serving and help serve this morning, would you come forward at this time as communion stewards? It was a wonderful reminder of what God does and a reminder of God's grace in the midst of trial. You know, that early church was persecuted. They were beaten for their faith. There were the individuals that said that they were liars. They didn't know the truth. And yet every time they gathered around that table, and every time we gather around the table as well, we can lift up the body of Christ. And remember his words. This is not simply bread for your stomachs. This is not simply something to quell the rumbling in your gut. What it is a reminder of how I was broken and how you are part of me, the body of Christ, the church. The body of Christ offered for the people of God, thanks be to God. And after that, he poured out the cup. And as he did that, he offered more incredible words. Words that are astounding even to this day. And words that probably weren't completely understood when he first did it. He said, "This is not simply wine to quench the parchedness of your throat. This is something to remind you of new life, a whole new way of living. A sacrifice poured out so that sin has no power over you, so that death has no sway over you, and so that you realize that my Heavenly Father is at work. This blood poured out for you reminds you of God's grace constantly at work, washing over you in your life. The blood of Christ poured out for the people of God, and you are the people of God. Thanks be to God."